I'm Tanzina Vega. This is The Takeaway. And on to California now. We're back in 2014. Voters passed a controversial ballot measure that reduced penalties for people who committed some lower-level drug and property crimes. But ever since that measure, known as Proposition 47, passed, there's been a debate about its overall effect on crime and public safety in California. A new study released this week offers some answers. Magnus Lofstrom will help us make sense of the data. He's a co-author of the study from the nonpartisan think tank behind it, the Public Policy Institute of California.
The goal was to further reduce our reliance on incarceration in California and shift some of those resources towards more treatment and recidivism reduction measures.
And did it specifically lead to a rise in car break-ins and shoplifting? What was the disconnect?
We do see that. The biggest concern is, of course, that it would have an impact on violent crime. And we don't find any evidence that this particular reform had an impact on violent crime. But larcenies did go up. And this was really driven by an increase from thefts from motor vehicles.
Now, is that because of the lessering of penalties? Like, what do you think is driving that?
Well, I think that there are two channels that could be behind this. One is that the reform, since we passed the Prop 47 in 2014 here in California, we have reduced our jail and our prison population by about 15,000. So these are individuals, offenders who are not being incarcerated, but would have been incarcerated if we didn't pass this reform. So they're on the street, so to speak. So if they then commit crimes, then that could have an impact on the crime rate. So we call that an incapacitation effect. But there's also, it's what we see is that there are fewer arrests. There is a deterrence effect as well. So there are less of the consequences for committing one of these types of crimes. And that could also be a factor that led to an increase in those particular types of crimes.
And Prop 47 also called for money saved by the state through reduced incarceration to be used for treatment programs. What do we know about the impact of the measure on that?
Well, we know that the money has been allocated to locals to try to reduce recidivism, but the money was recently allocated. So that just happened in the last couple of years. And while we look at recidivism rates in this study, the money was allocated after that because it was a 2-year lag between the introduction of the reform and the money being allocated. So it's too early to say what kind of effect the money has had on recidivism. But we have looked at overall recidivism rates in the 2 years, in the first 2 years of the reform. And there we see some decreases in recidivism rates. But this is due in part to police making fewer arrests and district attorneys prosecuting fewer cases.
Is it similar to, I feel like there's a couple of different things. In New York, for example, we're talking about decriminalizing marijuana, for example. At the same time, there's a push for broken windows policing. So, like, where does this fall in between that, in those two sort of philosophies? It's almost like we're going two different ways, right?
Well, maybe so. I mean, we have made some changes in California, a number of changes since 2011, all in the direction of reducing penalties particularly for drug and property crimes. And like I said, we haven't really seen big impacts. We have seen some property crimes. And part of this, why we haven't seen the big impacts is possibly because law enforcement and police around the state are finding ways to address the pressures, the upward pressures on crime that might be coming from these reforms.
Magnus Lofstrom is the co-author of a new study by the Public Policy Institute of California that looked at the impact of Proposition 47 on crime and recidivism rates in California. Magnus, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.